what are people going to see at this conference? What do you expect to be the big message coming out of the next couple of days?
Okay, there are a lot of different things that people are going to participate in at this conference. We are having 7 thematic sessions this year, which is fairly new. We started that at the last conference. And the keynote speakers, there are 2 of them. One is Dr. Ken Kassman. He's going to talk about food security, which is on everybody's mind as the populations are increasing. And he's going to challenge us in how precision agriculture can really help us meeting the food security. We have another keynote speaker, Dr. Bill Ron, and he's going to focus on the right place, the right amount, and the right time, and how we can use crop sensing technology, which is really hot right now in the U.S., in identifying how much nitrogen we should be applying, where we should be applying, and how much we should be applying. Okay? The thematic sessions that I mentioned to you about before, we are going to have one on precision carbon management. Climate change is on everybody's mind. Okay, we're seeing such an erratic pattern of climate, whether you are in Colorado or Virginia or in New Zealand. And we have 2 dedicated sessions that are going to focus on precision carbon management. Something that is completely new, we're doing it for the first time in this conference, is a session on precision livestock management. And a professor from Australia is leading that effort. And our real hope is that as ICPA evolves into International Society of Precision Agriculture, we'll be able to talk about not only crops and nutrients, but also about animal perspective, livestock management, dairy management, crop protection, and things like that. And it will grow, become 360 degrees wide, so that we can encompass different aspects of agriculture.
Well, yeah, and a lot of people like to talk about the different debates out there of, you know, how are we going to raise enough food to feed the growing world? How are we going to have the fibers and the fuels and things like that that we want to get from these crops as well? And how are we going to get enough animal production going? You're really kind of coming up with some of the solutions to some of these kind of far-reaching questions right here at a conference like this, aren't you?
I think this conference really draws upon the innovative research that is being conducted worldwide. We have people participating in this conference from 40-some countries, okay? And that's what really makes this conference so unique and diverse and rich, because we have 400, 500 people with different backgrounds, with different experiences in precision agriculture, coming here to the main platform, sharing what they have done and what they have learned from their experiences. What is really interesting is that if you were to look at reports from FAO or Food and Agricultural Organization or United Nations Millennium Project and things like that, precision agriculture has been mentioned as one of the solutions in meeting food security. Okay? Population, as we all know, are increasing. People's eating habits are are changing. There are certain emerging economies that's where the population growths are happening. But if you look at the kind of agriculture that is practiced in other parts of the country, that other parts of the world, I mean, that may be very different than how we practice agriculture here. Now, the challenge we have 20 years of research with precision agriculture in U.S., Germany, Australia, and other advanced countries. How do we translate that into lesser developed countries where they have smaller fields, smaller landholding patterns, lesser resources on hand with the farmers? How do we translate the precision agricultural concepts, techniques, and technologies that have been developed here into those places so that they can also take advantage of that and increase global food production?
Well, yeah, and of course, you know, with those kind of opportunities, you've got the chance to literally transform those societies in some of those countries too, don't you? You know, if all of a sudden a society doesn't have to worry about food, you know, if it's not a daily constant worry, maybe for some of the lower developed countries, they're able to overcome that. That changes the whole equation for everything for them, doesn't it?
I think you're absolutely right. When your tummy is hungry, it's kind of hard to listen to anything else other than feeding itself, all right? I think there is an opportunity for precision ag and precision agricultural community to contribute to other places, lesser developed countries, smaller field size, by coupling not just the technology, but the flexibility of the labor that's available in other parts of the world. How do we couple labor and machinery together so that we continue to employ almost the same amount of labor as we currently do in those fields, okay, but take advantage of the concepts of precision agriculture?
That's kind of an interesting point you bring up, because a lot of the practical application of precision agriculture, at least in this country, has removed workers and work hours being put in. But you don't necessarily want to do that in some other countries where these workers are depending on that for their livelihood.
And that's exactly right. And so when you go into another environment, another system, another country where agriculture is there, but how it is practiced is very different, and the number of people that are involved on a farm of 100 acres is very different than the number of people involved on a farm of 10,000 acres in our country, that makes it really challenging. However, if you look at the primary principle of precision agriculture, as I talked about even at the last conference, and I'm going to talk briefly tomorrow, is precision agriculture is about the right input, which could be nutrients, water, pesticides, any kind of input that goes into the crop production system at the right time, at the right place, in the right amount. When you do these four things in the right manner, which here we may take it for granted, but in other places, all those four things need to be done in the right manner. When you bring those four, five things together, that's when precision agriculture happens. That doesn't mean you must work with large machinery. Okay?
Right.
As long as even you can use human labor, but you're delivering the right input at the right place, at the right time, in the right amount, precision agriculture happens.
And you're using that same amount of labor, but you're making it, you're producing much more food, twice as much, five times as much, however many multiplier you might get from it.
You bring up an interesting point. I say that because if you look at, for example, I work a lot with corn, and the average corn yield in the U.S. is right now 11 tons per hectare. But if you compare that with China, it's 5 tons per hectare. Or with India, it's 2 tons per hectare. Now, one way of looking at it, what are the challenges associated with improving grain yields? Why are they 2 tons per hectare? Other side of the coin is, well, it appears that because the average yield in the U.S. are already 11 tons per hectare, and the higher yields are in the tune of 22 tons per hectare and so forth, you can see that as an opportunity. That those are the places where we have potential to go from 2 tons to 10 tons, or from 5 tons to 10 tons. And so you can view that as a challenge, or you can view that as an opportunity. And I really think that precision agriculture has a place in translating the challenge into opportunity. It will not happen overnight, in a day, or in a year, but as we are forming the society, that will connect people from near and far. They will have a common place where they can exchange ideas, papers, challenges, and how we translate those into opportunities into their respective countries' environment within their respective resources.
Dr. Kosla, some excellent information. Anything else you'd like our audience to know about what they'll be seeing over the next couple of days here at the Precision Conference on Agriculture?
Well, we have 41 sessions planned as a part of oral papers and poster papers from 40-plus countries. There's a lot of diversity in terms of scale of farming, the type of precision agriculture papers that you will see here. I would encourage participants here to take advantage of all the innovative research going around the world in number of sessions, whatever their schedule allows. Whether it's on remote sensing, or whether it's on precision carbon management, or whether it's on landscape management as a part of precision conservation, or even precision livestock management, as I mentioned earlier to you, a lot of important information being transacted here as a part of the conference.